General Secretary's report, Sally Sukaris. We were proud to launch our Later Life Ambitions, LLA, budget for later life in Parliament on 28 October, a few weeks before the Chancellor's autumn budget statement, and we were encouraged by the cross-party support for it from those who attended the event and our media coverage. Page 7. We must keep defending the state pension triple lock, which is crucial in aligning the state pension with the cost of living and average earnings. The UK spends about 4.7% of GDP on pensioners. The USA spends 6.6%, Germany and France around 10%, and Greece more than 13%. Commentators calling for the triple lock to be scrapped as unaffordable all too often overlook the fact that we would still need to link the state pension with the true cost of maintaining a basic, decent and healthy life in retirement as, for many, this is their main or only income source. We continue to say that the personal income tax allowance should rise with inflation. Today's pensioners have worked all their adult lives and paid their fair share of tax and national insurance. However, due to the frozen tax threshold, there are almost 9 million taxpayers aged over 65 today, compared with 4.9 million in 2010-11. This brings those on lower pensions far too close to the minimum income needed to sustain even the most basic lifestyle in retirement. Last year, we joined others urging the government to reinstate universal winter fuel payments. After sustained pressure from campaigners, we welcomed the Chancellor's decision on the 9th of June 2025 to allow payments for pensioners earning less than £35,000 this winter. The CSPA, along with other older people's organisations including Age UK and the NPC, will be monitoring the impact on the older population through the coming winter months. This year has seen the CSPA giving evidence to both the National Audit Office and Public Accounts Committee inquiries into the management and administration of civil service pensions. Earlier in the summer, we carried out a snap online survey of members' experiences of MyCSP's services, and more than 1,000 people responded. Members' feedback was collated into written evidence submitted to the Public Accounts Committee, and their experiences in contacting the pensions administrator were cited in the PAC's subsequent report, which was published in late October. Sadly, recent industrial action taken by staff at MyCSP has led to casework delays and worsening caller response times, with only the most urgent of cases being prioritized and the rollout of the 2015 Remedy Choice PACs even further delayed. Our pensions and personal cases manager, Christine Haswell, and the team at CSPA HQ have done all they can to support CSPA members affected, also highlighting the benefits of CSPA membership. We continue to work with our Later Life Ambitions partners NAPO and the NFAC, as well as with the NPC, and more than 130 organizations involved in the Carer Poverty Coalition and Care and Support Alliance, to push for meaningful reform in the areas of health and social care, in response to motions at this year's AGM. AGM 2025 priorities. We had a busy AGM on 8-9 October, having received 46 motions for consideration. You can read about these in the AGM report available in the members area of our website, or if you would like to receive a copy in the post, please contact CSPA HQ. Leigh Priestley did a splendid job in chairing the AGM, ably supported by Vice Chair Roisin Lilly, ensuring that all the AGM business and agenda items, including a few contentious motions, were amicably and efficiently dealt with. We are appreciative of the continued efforts of all the Executive Council and members of the Standing Orders Committee who were re-elected, as well as Mike Duggan, our Chief Scrutineer, and John Hickey, our Chief Teller, who made sure things went smoothly. The issues outlined within the motions that were carried will now be added to our campaign's agenda, setting our work plans for the 12 months ahead. AGM 2025 priorities. You can read our AGM report in the members area of our website. CSPA Democratic Structures, have your say. In last December's issue of The Pensioner, we surveyed members' views on the CSPA's democracy, asking if you felt able to participate in our decision-making processes and elections. An overwhelming majority, 75%, of you told us you would like a say in the election of our National Executive Council, EC, members. In a subsequent consultation, feedback from groups and branches was more measured, but two-thirds supported the proposed two-year trial of an all-member ballot to elect to posts on the EC. The necessary changes to our rules and constitution were approved at the AGM, so the trial can now begin. We are therefore giving notice that all CSPA members will be invited to submit nominations for the chair, vice chair, and 5 national members of the EC. Under our current rules and constitution, 2 of the 5 EC member posts must be women, and we encourage nominations. The call for nominations will be published in the spring issue of The Pensioner, out in early March 2026. Any member can submit nominations, provided they are seconded by another member. This has always been the case, but we hope the new all-member ballot in 2026 will increase participation, especially among those based in areas not covered by active groups or branches. We will also run our usual nomination processes for these and other EC positions via our groups and branches alongside. If you are part of an active CSPA local group in England and Wales or either of our branches in Northern Ireland and Scotland, please get in touch with them if you would like to be involved at a more local level. You can always be sure of a friendly welcome if you decide to attend one of their meetings. I would ask you all to consider, in the meantime, whether you would like to nominate a CSPA member or, equally, perhaps put yourself forward for one of the positions that are to be within the scope of the all-member ballots. Consulting on CSPA status. The CSPA is a member-led, not-for-profit association and as such has no legal status as an entity in its own right. It is owned by members, run by members, for the benefit of members, and the members are free to decide the rules, constitution and priorities within the bounds of the law. However, there are downsides. The CSPA cannot enter into legally binding contracts, the trustees must do so on members' behalf, and members all carry unlimited liability for any costs arising if the organization becomes insolvent or subject to legal claims or penalties that our investments or our insurers cannot cover. We steward CSPA undertakings and investments carefully and responsibly, and you will see from the 2024 annual report that our financial situation is relatively robust, but we live in an increasingly litigious society and cannot know the challenges ahead. At our AGM, the EC submitted Motion A7 to enable an investigation into the costs, risks and benefits of establishing the CSPA as a company limited by guarantee or charitable incorporated organization. The motion was carried, so this work, and a consultation involving all members, groups and branches, can commence. Please look out for an article in the spring issue of The Pensioner, which will cover all the pros, cons and implications of moving to incorporation in some form, thereby limiting members' liability. The magazine will also include a survey to glean your responses, thoughts and queries on these matters, and to ascertain support for the CSPA becoming incorporated. Many of the other organizations we work with have become incorporated in recent years, and we are learning from their experiences along the way. HQ changes. Just before the AGM, we were pleased to have Katrina Hicks joining us as our membership coordinator. At the end of December, however, Finance and AGM Manager Marion McAuliffe retires after almost 13 years with the CSPA. Pensions and personal cases. Manager Chris Haswell will also be moving on after Christmas, having supported CSPA members, the EC and fellow officers for more than 4 years. We salute their tireless work and will miss them greatly. Deputy General Secretary David Luxton will take partial retirement in the new year and transition to the role of pensions manager in January, using his sound knowledge of civil service pensions and working relationships with the Cabinet Office to help members on a part-time basis. We are grateful to David for his work as DGS and pleased to support his partial retirement in a way that benefits CSPA members. We are now looking to recruit a new Deputy General Secretary, and I will keep you updated on our progress. I hugely appreciate all the team's continued commitment and hard work on behalf of all CSPA members over the past 12 months. All that remains is for me to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, however you choose to celebrate. Article ends.